Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I'm here with Emily in the Hudson Area Library, and I'm in Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 11 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
And it's so exciting to have both of you here. Hooray! I love chatting books with both of you. Sometimes I get to just chat with one of you, but today is one of those days when everything comes together. It's so exciting. Before we dive into the books, I want to say happy anniversary to WGXC. WGXC is celebrating its 14th anniversary of being on the FM airwaves here in Columbia and Greene counties. The radio launched in February, late February of what year would that be? 2011? 2012? I'm bad with year math.
2010 or 2009, because I'm 14. So.
Aw, the radio's the same age as you.
Yay.
So cute. And Bound by Books has been broadcasting since the start of the radio station as well. So it's also our anniversary in a way. Hooray, hooray. We love WGXC and are so grateful for the time we get to spend on the radio and connecting with listeners and connecting with fellow readers and getting to share our thoughts on books on the radio. So big, big thank you to WGXC. This week is WGXC Appreciation Week, and you can reach out to WGXC through their website to share your appreciation for WGXC as well. So check out WGXC.org for more info. It's a great site, great station, great community.
And we're on it.
Woo! Literally right now. But yeah, so we're going to talk about some books today. Why don't we start with Jado? Do you want to share one of your books? And if we have time, we can share two.
All right. So I have the book. It's called Beowulf, and it's, I don't have the last name, but it's written by Zach Wiedersmith, and I think it's pronounced Boulay. Zach Wiedersmith, he writes the webcomic SMBC, which is short for Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. It deals with all sorts of funny things, and it's one of my personal favorites. It updates every day pretty regularly. So he wrote books on space travel. One of them is A City on Mars, and another is Soonish. And The City on Mars talks about what we'd actually do once we made it into space. And Soonish talks about how we're able to get into space and how that's going to happen. So Beowulf is based off of the story of Beowulf. And Wiedersmith wanted to write a story about that for children, but he wanted to make it PG. So instead of it being Beowulf has to defeat an enemy who's, you know, being all kind of murdery-ish.
Murdery.
Instead, it's this person who's a neighbor who turns children into adults and teenagers who hate life and everything in it and don't want them to stay up late and eat chocolate. I'll read a couple of pages. If I can
and
find
for those, it. It's hard to like hear the difference in the titles, but there's like Beo, like with an O, Wolf is the original that this was inspired by. And this is Bea with an A. So it's like Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the main character's name is Bea.
Well, the main character actually comes in, the one with the title, about halfway through.
Okay.
So many kids marveled at the toy mountain pleasing its maker. Such plenty. Each plucked toy hid two more and also a puppy. But Carl, the detector of gold, dealt himself nothing, even as those eggs that hatched robots were taken. Sharing cars, comics, dollies, games of card and board, foam-wrought sheaths, shields of shining plastic. Forging friendship and peace, preparing for harder days. In his self-mastery, Karl was kind. That is the way of kings. Many foes are felt beneath the cardboard crown. Realms of bullies were raided, their ill-got riches returned. Gateways were tunneled to long-grounded kids, games given in secrets. And no flea-flecked furball went foodless or bereft of bed. So, Wienersmith talks in the end about how I think the original Beowulf was written in iambic pentameter and with a lot of Old English words. So instead of that, he kept it to a lot of alliterative words and have not like iambic pentameter, but a more poem-like quality to the book. And the illustrations are really beautiful. On the front cover, there's the Beowulf, who's an adorable, like, 6-year-old wearing a hood with a bear on it. And then she's standing on a pile of stuffed animals, and underneath the stuffed animals are like a bunch of sweets and games and chocolates underneath. It all looks like gold at first, so you have to get really close to look at it. So you can see if you zoom in, it looks like muffins and cookies and
That's
stuff.
funny. I never noticed that. I've seen the cover a zillion times.
Yeah, it's a very good book. I'd recommend it, and then I'd recommend other Wienersmith books too, if you're interested in space stuff.
Yeah, the style is really interesting. There's a lot. I feel like a lot of graphic novels have multiple panels on a page, and this one seems is like less panel heavy. Like some of it is just like full page illustration with some text. And then some has, like this one has one panel, but then it has like a block of color, but that doesn't have a like strong outline.
Yeah,
It's very interesting.
I've been waiting to read this book for a while, actually. I only just realized like a couple months ago it might be at the library because on his website he updates you about books that he's writing and that he's published. And so I have the other two books I bought them, but I haven't been able to read this one until here, and it was very pleasant reading.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. So that's Beowulf by
Zach
Wienersmith and
Wienersmith
Boulez.
and Boulez. His
Cool.
name was originally Wiener, but he married someone named Smith, so
Oh,
now
and
his
they
name is
combined.
Wienersmith.
That's fun. I like when couples like make a new name, like joining their names. It's always cool.
I mean, it could have been Smith Wiener, so.
Yeah, I think Wienersmith sounds like more of a real name. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. So I think we'll switch over to Fatia for a little bit, but then I know Jada has another book that she could talk about too after. So, Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I wanted to share a poem. It's called Life is Beautiful. Life is beautiful and so colorful. Life is full of fun and surprises. There's a pain and sacrifices. Life is difficult, yet you have to strive hard for it. Just be strong and responsible and let your goal achieve. Be thankful to God who gives us life and have faith and trust in Him. And it's by Amor Olorvida.
That's pretty. What made you choose that poem?
Because like I think a lot of people need this poem because it's like inspiring and it's like motivation.
Nice.
I thought you wrote the poem. Sounded like you were reading it, like you wrote it.
I found it on Google.
Yeah, internet search. What were your keywords for internet search?
Poems about life that motivate you.
Oh, that's nice. It worked. You got it. Found a good one.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
very nice poem.
Thanks for sharing that. I could share a book quickly that I read this month. I read this for the library's nonfiction book club, and it's an adult nonfiction book, but I think it has some potential appeal for young readers, specifically for teenagers. I think it would be a little advanced for some younger readers, but it also has, I kind of read both the audiobook and the book. Like I go back and forth between the two. And the audiobook was also very good. It had like a cast of readers who tried to like have the different voices represented in a good way. So I think that might be a way to make it also accessible for teens. But so this is a nonfiction book. It's called But Will You Love Me Tomorrow? An Oral History of the 60s Girl Groups. And it's by Laura Flam and Emily Sue Leibowitz, who did an author talk here in the fall, I believe, at the library for this book. And I bought the book at that time. Their talk was really interesting and it made me want to read more. And so I suggested our book club read this, and we did. And I really enjoyed it. So it is all, the entire book is told through oral history. So they interviewed a number of people. I believe they also maybe took some quotes from other sources, but primarily it's from oral histories that they collected with various people involved in the history of these 60s girl groups that were really popular sort of at the started in like the mid to late 50s and then went into the 60s. And so it's a very different book in that way. So instead of the author explaining things, they let the people's voices and their stories tell the story of that time and of the different girl groups. So I'll read the description for this one. So it says, featuring over 300 hours of new interviews with 100 plus subjects, But Will You Love Me Tomorrow is an oral history of the girl groups that redefined the early 1960s. The girl group sound made famous and unforgettable by acts like the Ronettes, the Shirelles, the Supremes, and the Vandellas took over the airwaves by capturing the mixture of innocence and rebellion emblematic of America in the 1960s. As songs like Will You Love Me Tomorrow, Then He Kissed Me, and Be My Baby rose to the top of the charts, girl groups cornered the burgeoning post-war market of teenage rock and roll fans, indelibly shaping the trajectory of pop music in the process. While the songs are essential to the American canon, many artists remain all but anonymous to most listeners. Featuring more than 100 interviews with those who made the music, from singers and songwriters to their agents, managers, and sound engineers, and even to the present-day celebrities inspired by their lasting influence, But Will You Love Me Tomorrow? An Oral History of 60s Girl Groups tells a national coming-of-age story that shines particular insight into the experiences of the female singers and songwriters who created the movement and changed American culture. So I thought one thing that stood out to me with this story is how young these singers were and when they first got into the business. So for many of them, they were young teenagers. There were some that were as young as 12 when they started out. And there was some significant pressure on them to drop out of school so that they could focus on their music and really have to focus on that. They also had to have their parents sign their contracts, and there was some taking advantage of people not really knowing the business. And so there's some of that in there with the rights to the names of the groups, the rights to the royalties of the songs, who gets listed as a songwriter on the songs. A lot of these groups were also young Black women during a time where there were areas of the country that were still segregated. And so there's some stories about them going on tour. Many of the girls were from New York City or from Detroit. And so for some of them, it was their first time traveling in the South and experiencing a different place where they had to be extra careful about what they said and did, or just being treated differently, showing up on a tour bus. There's one part where they show up on a tour bus with Dick Clark and some other white acts, and they pull up to a hotel, and all of the people in the white acts get to go into the hotel, and then the other girls have to go to like a flop house. Or one time they tell a story about how they rented a room and they got there late at night and they were tired. So they just went to bed. And when they came down the next morning, there were coffins and they realized they had been staying in a funeral home that was renting out a room. And they said, we just ran out of there so fast because they were so scared that they were sleeping in our building with dead people. But there's so many topics that are covered in this. There's also just these young women, like some of them were brought together, didn't know each other very well. Some of them were classmates, some of them were family, the different styles they had, the dynamics between the different girls, how the recording process went. There was one part where there was one of the bands that was based in New York. There was a producer named Phil Spector, who was based out in California, and he wanted to release an album using their name, the Crystals, but he didn't want to pay the price to fly them out. So he had a whole nother band record the album, but then he released it as the Crystals because he owned the name. So he was like, I can do it because it's I own the name. But then it got released as the Crystals, but none of the Crystals had sung on it. Or in a lot of these, sometimes one singer would be sort of the lead singer or would end up becoming the lead singer along the way. And there were also instances where they would just fly across the lead singer and then have different background artists singing the backgrounds. So for some of the groups that were background singers primarily, they also didn't get much credit for their talent. So it's very interesting. I really liked it a lot. I read it very quickly. It's not a very short book, but very entertaining. And it also, I really love the 60s girl group sound. So it was fun. Like while I was reading, I would be listening to some of their songs as I was reading. Obviously, not while I was listening to the audiobook, but when I was reading the physical book, I would play the music in the background, and that was really
Can't
fun.
imagine how terrible it would be if you were listening to the audiobook and listening to the music.
Yeah, that wouldn't work so well.
Do you have a copy of it in the library?
We do, yeah.
I'd like to read it, I think.
Yeah, it's really good. And I feel like it's interesting seeing it really works having the like, it jumps between different people. So like for this one, it says Emma Pout, the Bobettes. They would run us out of the hallways because we were always in there trying to get the echo. One time a man gave us sixth sense. He gave us the sixth sense to get out of the hallway. We were making so much noise. Brooks Arthur, sound engineer. Different doo-wop groups singing on different corners, street corners, all that stuff that you hear. It was actually true. Jeff Berry, songwriter. Doo-wop is what you made when you didn't have money for instruments. Melanie Mintz, writer. My friends in Brooklyn were standing on the street corner making harmony. I mean, literally. Now they were all boys because none of us girls were interested. We didn't necessarily think we had a voice. And then it goes on. So you can see how it jumps between different oral histories. So sometimes there's longer sections, sometimes it's just a sentence, but it flows pretty well. And yeah, I really liked it a lot. It's also interesting. There were parts later in the book that got into some of the ways that I first started listening to this music. When I was younger, there were a couple movies that featured music from this era. And my parents had a couple records that they had when I was growing up that I listened to that had some music from it. And then there was a musical called Leader of the Pack that I don't know, I can't remember when it first came out. It's mentioned in this book. But it's a musical about a female songwriter who was very involved in this era of music and about her getting started, about her career. And the PTA in my hometown did musicals every year as a fundraiser for the schools. And one year they did Leader of the Pack as a musical. And so I went to that a couple times and really loved the music from that as well. So that's another way that I got involved. So it was also interesting reading a little bit about her story in here as well. And then they mentioned Leader of the Pack, the musical, towards the end of the book. But yeah, very interesting book. That's But Will You Love Me Tomorrow by Laura Flam and Emily Sue Leibowitz. It's a book for adults, but I think has some teen appeal. And the title is But Will You Love Me Tomorrow, but the song that it's inspired by is Will You Love Me Tomorrow? So without the but. Although the song does say, but will you? But yeah, highly suggested. And now for our last book of the day, we're gonna change the vibes a little bit. What's
Yeah,
next?
so most of you out there have probably heard of Calvin and Hobbes. It's one of the most popular, I think, cartoon comics that's ever been made. Bill Watterson is the author, in case you forgot. And I really, really, really like Calvin and Hobbes. Bill Watterson has an incredible artistic range. Like, his drawings of dinosaurs are very detailed, and yet the characters interacting with them are like a bunch of like very stylized, scribbled people with four fingers. In case you forgot, the two main characters are Calvin
And
and Hobbes.
soccer.
Calvin is a 6, 7-year-old boy, blonde, very, very, very spiky hair, kind of like Big Nate, except all over his head. And Hobbes is a tiger. Everyone but Calvin sees him as a stuffed tiger, and we get to see him as both a stuffed tiger and as a tiger. Not like a tiger, like an anthropomorphic style tiger. And he has a lot of sass and is sometimes way more mature than Calvin, but also at the same time acts a lot like Calvin. Calvin, I think, is a very interesting character because he is very juvenile, and he does crazy things like that little boys do, but he also has a very broad vocabulary and talks about and thinks about very deep things. To quote Calvin's mom directly, "How can a kid know so much and yet know so little?" After he talked about how gravity worked and then mentioned that he spilled a pitcher of lemonade on the floor while roller skating in the kitchen. So Calvin and Hobbes, yeah, there are a bunch of collections. The one that I'm holding right now is called The Days Are Just Packed. And another one that I really like is Revenge of the Baby Sack. So I just recommend that you get a copy. It's very, Calvin and Hobbes is very nice to read. And even if you've read it a million times, just looking at the artwork makes me feel good.
Yeah, those have been popular for so long. I definitely remember reading the comic strips in the newspaper as a kid.
They should run them again.
Yeah, I wonder if they do. I don't know. I don't really look at the newspaper comics anymore.
That's the only thing I look at with newspaper. Why is it only Sundays anyway?
I don't know, but they're fun. And I agree, they're one of the most famous cartoon comic characters. But on a recent episode of Celebrity Jeopardy, Hobbs was the answer and nobody got it. And I was like,
Really?
really?
Really, like, what was the clue? Do you remember kind of what it was?
It was something about the philosopher Hobbs, who was the inspiration for a tiger in a comic. So it was a philosophy question.
So it said, and did I mention the word Hobbes?
The answer was Hobbs. It was like, which, I think it was like, which. This philosopher was the name inspiration for a cartoon or a comic tiger, something like
I would
that.
have gotten it
And I was like,
immediately.
Hobbes.
And then nobody guessed it.
No.
What did they say, Karl Marx?
I don't remember if they guessed or not. I just remember they didn't get it. And I will say, if you want to feel smart, watch Celebrity Jeopardy. Don't
If
watch regular
you want to
Jeopardy,
feel
watch
stupid,
Celebrity
watch
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. If you want to feel smart, watch Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I get all the answers most of the time, not all of them, but I feel really good about
And the ones that you
myself.
don't are the most obscure pop reference that nobody thinks of.
Yeah,
So.
that's cool. Yeah, there's a lot of collections of Calvin and Hobbes comic strips. I am curious because I haven't actually read one of these collections. Do they, is there a flow at all, or is it just like comic strip, comic strip, comic strip?
Well, in this
I'm
one,
curious.
sometimes he puts ones that are like all related. For example, these three, like this one could easily lead into this one, could easily lead into this one. But on other times, they have absolutely no relevance whatsoever.
Yeah. And I'm curious how they decide what goes into each publication. Like, who decides those? Like, who lays it out? One of life's many mysteries.
What's also great about this is that Bill Watterson is very great at what he does. And so some of the strips, like the famous Calvin and Hobbes dancing one that's on the back of this of the Days Are Packed, he can get along, he can show emotion very well without any words at all, so you know exactly what's happening. I appreciate that level of skill. And even the ones that are just like one panel have a whole bunch of detail in them. I really like Calvin and Hobbes, and if I could read it as if I never read it before, I would.
You have to blank out your brain, erase it, and read it again, fresh. Well, thank you for sharing. Oh, we're just about out of time. So we're going to say goodbye for the day, but we want to once again wish WGXC, all the programmers, all the listeners, a happy anniversary. Happy 14th, WGXC. We're so grateful for our beloved community radio station. But on that note, we're going to say goodbye. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
Happy reading!
Happy reading!